Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. All great things. I am your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. On this week's show, I have a very special treat for you. Our special guest is none other than my good friend, professional speaker and speaker trainer, Paul Evans. Let me tell you just a little bit about Paul. He is a 22-year veteran of business, opening a fitness center at the ripe old age of 20, and he's never looked back. Paul helps entrepreneurs create a complete lifestyle business, and instead of just having making money as the only goal and the only measurement, Paul helps business owners measure their success by the amount of freedom and enjoyment they have. I mean, what a great goal. You know, in addition, we measure success by the time and focus we're able to give toward helping others. Paul gave his first speech in sixth grade, and he was being a paid speaker by the age of 16, and he has given more than 1,200 presentations. You all know how important I think speaking is to your business and your career, so I'm excited to get going. So let's roll the tape.
Paul, thanks so much for being with us, and thanks for being my special guest expert.
Hey, Jim, I am thrilled to be here.
Awesome. So, you know, before I kind of get into some questions about the mechanics of speaking, can you take just a couple minutes and talk about what I mentioned before, which I saw on your website, the make more, give more, live more philosophy? Like, what's that all about?
Yeah, I think that when we're driven by profits exclusively, and all of us who are in business, certainly we've got to be profitable, and we want to make income, we want to make a living, all of those things. But I think that we've all experienced that drive simply for the money, and that is the end goal. It ends up not really feeding us as human beings. I know a lot of people who have really been driven by cash only and have even become wealthy and still felt like there was something missing there. And often what's missing is that giving aspect, because they've been focused so much on receiving. I want to make this. I want to get this. But when you start making money to give money, it radically shifts your drive so that you're actually out there being excited about it. And, you know, I just got back from a mission trip to Mexico. And when I wake up in the mornings, especially on mornings when I feel like we're doing okay financially, I'm not real driven. But when I think that if I don't pursue my goals, that an orphan may not be fed or may not be educated or may not be rescued, well, that shifts my direction. So I find it much easier to work for a goal outside of myself than for a goal inside of myself. And what I've noticed through the years is there's only about 5% of people who are really motivated by money. Even though everybody says, I want to make a lot of money, most of them are not actually motivated by that. And again, there's about 5% that are, that can be their entire drive. And I've got a couple of friends that are highly motivated by money and make a lot of money, but the majority, the vast majority, are not. And so that give more really allows you to pursue it. And then the live more is not to say that we're not going to enjoy any of our proceeds. Certainly we are. But after we've given, when generosity is our heart and our spirit, then we're able to live. We're able to take incredible vacations or have an incredible lifestyle, but based in that we've already made the world better, not that we're going to make the world better if we happen to have something left over. So we give to those around us first, and then we also give to ourselves, and we end up having what I consider an incredible lifestyle because every area of our life is being benefited.
You know, that's so awesome, and I've had a similar view, and I love the way you kind of so eloquently put it all together. And you know, Carrie has an expression, "Your big why," and I kind of love that. Mm. I sometimes mention that, and of course, I give her credit for it when I say it. But you know, it helps. It really helps explain why I believe some people are doing better than others. And you know, I'm a member of this mastermind group called the Rockstar Masterminds. We met in North Carolina just actually a couple of days ago as I'm recording this. And one of the things that I shared with them was very similar to what you said, because I know there's some other people in the group who are totally kind of money driven. And I said, you know, when you give more and seek, and you come from a place of serving others instead of how can I grow my business, it just happens. You know, it takes care of itself. And I explained to them that there are kind of three kind of Christian charities that Stephanie and I are, that we support in a big way. You know, we support, we repair homes for low-income folks, and we're actually mentors for this charity called Bridge of Hope, where we kind of mentor unwed mothers and help them get their feet on the ground. And then we also support this charity, which helps unborn babies to become born, you know. And when I think of sometimes when I have a hard time getting to work or getting in gear for myself, all I got to do is think about, like you said, if I earn more, I can give more. And when I give more, not only do I help and I feel better, but I'm telling you, and I've read this for years, and I only really came to believe it, I guess, in the last 5-6 years. But when I give more, my business and I personally continue to grow exponentially. Even, you know, like there's an expression somebody shared with me, you may have heard this, you can't outgive God. So, you know, it's kind of a fun thing to try.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, slipped off of that non-speaking topic. So, let me reel myself back in. You know, Paul, you're pretty passionate about people who about, you know, helping people become public speakers. And you know, as you know, my audience is largely entrepreneurs and small business owners. Why do you feel speaking is so important?
Well, the first thing I want to hit is something you mentioned earlier about speaking, is how it helps position you. And I look at speaking as being very attractional. Certainly you're out there proclaiming your message and you're sharing your expertise with other people, which we all need to do. But it's also one of those things that when you hear a good speaker or you connect with a business with that person. So let's go back to the example you used earlier, hearing me at Boss, and you said, I've got to go up and meet him. Why? Because there was attraction there to say, I've got to learn more about this individual. Well, when I'm speaking for businesses, I may casually mention some of the things that I do training-wise for businesses, some of those public speaking related, some of those leadership related. But because of the platform that I'm engaged in, people will come up and ask me about my business. So I'm not out there having to sell so hard or convince people to do business with me. I'm simply putting myself, my expertise, my concepts, my subjects, my abilities, skill set, all on display so that people can make the decision from the seat that, that's who I want to be involved in or involved with. So let me give you a couple of other points related to this when it comes to why I'm passionate. Number one is that words influence. It's never going to change. It's never going to shift. We will always use words to influence each other. Certainly there's aspects of our facial features and our gestures and all of those things, but ultimately it is our words that influence. We use words to command. We tell someone to come here and they come. So they're very action oriented. We can use words to impact. We can encourage someone, build someone up with words, and their lives are altered. We can tell someone that we believe in them, and if they'll capture that belief, they'll go on to do things in their life that they never would have done before simply because we used words. And certainly we could write a letter to someone and write a book, and all of those things are effective, but there's something about that spoken communication, and often from a stage or a platform, a webinar or a teleseminar, that engages people at a deeper level because it's multisensory. You know, when they're hearing us, when they can actually not just catch our tone, but they can actually feel our tone. If there's one of the most advanced techniques that a public speaker can learn, it's how to transfer your energy and emotion so that before you ever tell that, quote, joke or funny story, you already know that they're going to laugh because you're so transferring exactly what you feel. When you tell the sad story, you already know that their heart is going to get a little bit heavy. And that's the power of public speaking as opposed to other forms of communication, it's simply more alive. So our words influence and our words impact. We certainly need to use a variety of ways to communicate, but our public speaking still has some of the strongest leverage, the best leverage for growing our businesses. And I noticed that a lot of business owners are not out there communicating about their business, out there just communicating with their community. You know, someone might say, well, I'm in pest control and people really don't want to hear any sort of presentation on the 1,000 different types of cockroaches, and most people just get grossed out. But if you were to say, 5 resilient principles I've learned from the cockroach, you know, the bug that's impossible to kill, and you were to just speak on that, that's more of a personal development issue, your business in pest control would actually grow. It would have nothing to do with whether or not they thought you could deliver the goods. It's because they liked you, connected with you, and now they associate you with a need that they have, and it makes it so much easier. So that's why I'm really passionate about it, because each one of us can become a better communicator, a strong communicator, and influence and impact our world.
You know, you said something really important. You talked about just telling, and I think I'm familiar with the expression, the more you tell, the more you sell. So you don't go out there and sell. You just go out there and communicate. You know, I do weekly videos, and I think, you know, some people ask me, how do you do that every week? And the way I explain it is I don't look at a camera. I look at one person. I mean, I literally have a real person that I communicate with, and all it is a conversation. And that's what I enjoyed so much about your presentation, Paul, is it looked like you just had a conversation, and you know, you did tell some stories, you made us laugh, you made us cry, you told a whole bunch of different stories, but at the end of the day, when you got off the stage, it was you communicated, and people got to know you, and I think got to respect you, and that actually draws prospective clients to you.
Absolutely.
So, you know, how did you get started in speaking? And, you know, I'm talking casually, like back when in the sixth grade, and then how did you get into it professionally?
Okay, so sixth grade, one valedictorian of the sixth, never able to repeat again, but valedictorian in the sixth grade. My speech was much to do, much to love, much to hope for. I've still got the 3x5 cards from that very first speech. And then in my youth group days, I was always asked to do devotionals, et cetera. And then that speaking engagement at age 16, I got paid for. I was at a youth rally. There were about 1,000 teens there. The speaker didn't show up. My youth minister said, I've got a guy in the youth group that'll speak. And they gave me the speaker's check when I got done. So I thought, man, this is pretty cool. You know, maybe this is what I need to do. And so I began to do more and more things church-wise. But as you know, and I think I actually told this story at Boss, in my early 20s, my first wife, Sherry, passed away in my arms, and our son was 5 weeks old at the time. And having made it through that, through so many things, through faith, through friends, family, surrounding, one thing that was incredible was that my insurance agent was a fantastic representative of his company. And so I began speaking to insurance companies to help them grow their business from the beneficiary perspective. You know, I went in and said, I don't know anything about your company, but I know about human beings. I know about those who experience loss, and I know how you can supply the greatest care for them at their point of greatest need. And that began that process. And then people began saying, well, can you teach me to speak? You know, you're very, like you said, very conversational. I want to be a speaker, and I want to impact lives. How can I do that? And I thought, well, I don't really want to be a speaker coach. I'm not sure that I'm ready to do that. And so I wrote a book on that, and that was the very beginning of that. But all of the entry into speaking was somewhat very natural. It was not one of those things that I sat down and thought, man, I'm going to be a speaker. But instead, it was simply an extension of a message at any given point in time that needed to be shared. And speaking, for me, seemed to be the best delivery system. And so that's one thing I'd love for everyone who's listening to think about. You've got a message in your business or in your life that you do need to share, now, especially in business, it's going to grow your business, and to think about speaking not as this big, hard task, but that it's simply a delivery mechanism. If you made an MP3 or a CD, it's a delivery mechanism. If you write a book or a special report, it's a delivery mechanism. And so instead, we're using speaking as the way that we're going to deliver this message that's going to impact our particular market for their greatest good and at the same time the growing of our businesses.
That's really interesting, you know, the story and how you started out going to the insurance agents because of that relationship you had. Did Paul start to do that just more out of friendship, or did you see there was a need there, and because of the relationship you had with yours, you thought, wow, I should go out there and help others develop a similar relationship?
All right, we're going to pause here for a very brief timeout, but on the other side, Paul has a lot more speaking tips to share, including how to overcome the fear of public speaking. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
There are two types of small business owners. Those who are already profiting from the power of social media, building stronger, more powerful relationships with their customers and prospects. And those who are still sitting on the sidelines, wondering if it will work for them too. If you're still sitting on the sidelines, then No Hassle Social Media is for you. Finally, there's a fast and easy done-for-you way to use social media marketing to connect with more customers and prospects, accelerating the know, like, and trust factor, all with no experience necessary. No Hassle Social Media not only shows you exactly what to do, it provides you with a ton of great content that you can use to promote your business and build stronger relationships with clients and potential clients. You get blog posts, Twitter tweets, Facebook posts, LinkedIn updates, and even video scripts. Get started profiting from social media today at www.nohasslesocialmedia.com. That's www.nohasslesocialmedia.com.
And we are back. Let's get right back to master speaker and speaker trainer, Paul Evans.
So did Paul start to do that just more out of friendship, or did you see there was a need there, and because of the relationship you had with yours, you thought, wow, I should go out there and help others develop a similar relationship?
Yeah, that was a big part of it, is to say, you know, here is the need, and it wasn't a business plan type thing. Sometimes we look at business and say, okay, where's the greatest need, and I'm going to provide a service. It was more just along the lines of that give more. How can I give back? I've received to a great extent. You know, and even in this area of greatest loss of my life, I still was very aware of how much I received, how great I was cared for. I think about my insurance agent. When I arrived at the funeral home, you know, having never been through anything like this in my life, and when I got there, the funeral home director said, Mr. Evans, I'd like for you to know that your agent has called ahead of time, and he wanted us to know that there was not going to be any problem with your financial resources or ability for anything that you may choose today. He also said that he was aware that sometimes our tactics were to manipulate somewhat the emotional trauma that someone is going through, even though we deny that, but he assured me that if we tried to influence you in any way, he would pay us a personal visit. And, you know, here, you know, I received a great service from my agent, you know, and I love that. I love to be able to go in and have this pressure free. And so, you know, even out of great loss, I'm looking around saying, how can I share things that have been helpful to me that are also going to be helpful to other people? And I think we can all do that, and that can all be part of our platform and all part of our communication.
Very powerful. So, Paul, what are some of the keys to becoming an effective communicator? And you know, maybe come at it from the standpoint of folks that have never even given a speech in their life.
Okay, so let me give you three things that are not saying necessarily easy to do. The first one, though, is guaranteed. I can't guarantee. I had somebody write me a couple of days ago, hey, Paul, I'm picking up your public speaking course. Is it going to make me an awesome speaker? I don't know. I don't know you. I've not heard you speak. I don't know if you've got a fluid ability to communicate. I don't know any of that. But what I do guarantee is this first point when it comes to really being able to communicate well, and that is content. Every single person on the planet can create a message of valuable content. I remember years ago attending a congregation where our preacher was running a close race on most boring preacher in the world. And every week I was just out there dying. And so I told my wife one day, I think we're going to have to move. This guy is so dull. I'm not going to be able to stay. And she said, you need to change your attitude. I said, well, I need to change. What? She goes, every week he presents a message that is filled with application. You may not like his presentation, but what he's sharing, his information, is incredible. So then I started paying attention, and I realized the information really was incredible. And that really convinced me that even if you don't feel like you are the best communicator, understand that our number one goal is to share value with the audience, not necessarily to be the funniest or to be the most entertaining, even though that can be part of it. It's down the list a little bit. Our first thing that we need to do is have incredible content. And so if you can sit down and look over your notes and say, you know what, anyone who's in the audience today, it's going to be good that they came, because these 3 points or these 5 points are going to be very useful for them. So to me, number one is that content. Number two is confidence. And this is a harder one, and I'm going in level of difficulty. But confidence, first of all, in the content. So let's tie it right back to that, so that you feel extremely strong about what you're going to share. Now, secondly, you should feel extremely strong that you should be sharing this, whether it's from your experience, from your background, from your business expertise, but that you know that you have a right to share on this information. Now, caution, this doesn't mean that you're the number one expert in the world. I hear people all the time say, I don't know enough to share, I'm not going to be that valuable. The truth is that most people live their lives, let's say there's a scale of 1 to 10, most people live their lives in the 1 to 3, maybe up to 5 range in any given subject. And then each person has an area of expertise or subject or knowledge on something up to about the 7 or 8 level. But for the most part, we're not crossing a lot of other people in those areas. And so Jim's out speaking. He's a level 9, level 10 on newsletters, effective communication within the workplace, effective ability to influence your customers through the use of newsletters. And let's say there's one other person on the planet that knows more than Jim does. Is that going to keep Jim from sharing? No way. But people do it all the time. They're like, oh, somebody else out there knows more than me, I don't need to share. Forget that. If you're a level 5, concentrate on levels 1 through 4 and share your heart out. Have confidence that a majority of the people in the room are not where you are, and you're trying to lift them up. You're trying to elevate them. So your confidence is not simply in your ability to present, and that's the mistake that most people make. Most people feel like their confidence is all in their ability to present. It's not. Your confidence should be linked more to your content and more to your right to do this presentation. And then number 3 is connection, really connecting with the audience. And one of the things that you've mentioned over and over again so far, Jim, is that usually when I communicate, it is very conversational. And I tried to forget years ago being a professional speaker. And I don't think that being a, quote, professional speaker connects very well. If you get up in front of an audience, or have somebody get up in front of an audience, or if I got in front of an audience and said, the day was May 4th, 1993. I will never forget that day, because the day was gray. And the rain. I've heard this. I've heard people speaking like this. And I'm like, what is going on?
Holy smokes.
What's happening? Because we don't talk to friends and family like that. We don't talk to our customers like that. We don't talk to anybody like that, ever. It never happens. And so when we want to connect, the first thing we need to remember is simply to be natural. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, some of you who have been listening now for, I guess we've been here for about 25 minutes, you might have picked up that I have a very slight accent. It might sound a little bit different than the way that some of you folks talk out there. I'm terminology that's a little bit different. the truth is, for the most part, I'm not even conscious of it until somebody comes up and says, oh, I love your Southern accent, or somebody else comes up and really wants to be funny. Hey, y'all got shoes yet in Alabama? And so when we go, the way that we communicate, we often try to be someone else. But the truth is, if we're connecting in real life, then we connect. If you're a storyteller in real life, then tell stories from the platform. If you're a little bit more academic in real life, but people are staying awake when you're talking to them, then share that type of platform. So there's no right or wrong when it comes to presentation style, other than if we try to become something that we are not. So those three points there were content, confidence, and connection. And that's really going to help us more than anything else communicate effectively.
Wow. I really like how you built confidence and tied it right back to content. You know, as you said, having confidence in the content, in other words, your knowledge of it and ability to teach it, and I kind of think that goes along with sort of earning the right to speak about it. You know, the other thing is, you mentioned real important, Paul, is connection. And just now you said, you know, it may be hard for an academic to get up there and just be conversational and off-the-cuff funny. And conversely, it may be hard for somebody who's just a kind of a goofball or just a real friendly Joe to get up there and start talking about, you know, space technology, you know, or you know, artificial hearts or something like that. So, and I guess the big message there is being authentic. You know, just make sure you are the real you and not trying to be somebody else.
Right.
So, you know, I coach a lot of entrepreneurs, and I think most agree with me that speaking is one of the most powerful tools you can use to both position yourself as a sought-after expert, but also help to get large amounts of people to get to know, like, and trust you. And, I mean, instead of individual conversations or phone calls or letters, things like that, it's a way to make connections with large group of people, whether it's 9 people or 900 people. But as you know, Paul, fear of public speaking is a huge stumbling block for many, many people. Can you share any tips or maybe even have like an exercise for helping people get over the fear of public speaking?
I'm going to give you a little acrostic for this, but before I get to that, you know, why are we afraid? It's in general, it's because we can't really control or predict the outcome. And so we're afraid that we might freeze. We're afraid we might stumble upon our words. We're afraid that we might forget something. And what's that root? The root is embarrassment. At the very core, we're afraid that we will be embarrassed, that people will laugh at us and not laugh with us. You know, that we're going to be a conversation piece afterwards where people are going to go, did you hear that guy? What were they thinking? So that's our ultimate fear. And here's the cool thing, is that before you get up there, nobody, unless it's a competitor, nobody's hoping you're going to fail. Everybody wants you to do good. Secondly, this is something else that gives me incredible confidence. Nobody knows what I'm going to say. So if I make it up, it's no big deal. This is a sidebar, but I'm actually a singer as well. And people will ask me, are you more afraid of singing or of speaking? I am 1,000, 1,000,000 times more afraid of singing than speaking. Because when you sing, especially a familiar song, everybody knows what notes are supposed to be hit. And everybody knows what lyrics are supposed to be sung. There's almost no room for error. But in speaking, there is vast room for error, because people don't know what you're going to say. And so if you forget something and just put something else in its place, you're the only one that knew you made a mistake. So here's an acrostic for fear. So the F is for focus. Before you get up, think again about that content and focus on what your overall message is. And for every presentation that I have, not an interview session like this, but for a main presentation, I have one overriding point or purpose that I want to make. One thing that I want the audience to walk away with, that even if they forget every point in my message, that if they were to be interviewed afterwards, they would say, Paul spoke about X, that they would be able within the next week to clearly communicate what I was clearly communicating. And that focus helps alleviate fear, because now our goal is not to try to get people to remember everything. We're only trying to get people to remember one thing. So we focus our message and we focus our mind on communicating that one thing. Our fear gets in because we're afraid, oh, I'm going to forget stuff. I'm going to get overwhelmed. What if I get things out of order? Listen, people are very forgiving. I've frozen on stage thousands of times, it seems like. But what I do is I'll look at the front row and I'll say, hey, I forgot where I was. Could be an ADD moment. What was the last thing I said that made any sense whatsoever? And somebody will tell me, and we'll all laugh, and we keep going. Nobody leaves going, can you believe that guy froze? Instead, they're going, what kind of weirdo would stop and ask the audience? I like that. You know, because that's a lot more conversational, isn't it, than being professional, where I can't make a mistake. So focus. The E in fear is for experience. Share your experience. You have stories. You have education. You've got skill sets. You've got things that other people in that audience don't have. And so what's happened in your life is interesting to other people. You think it might not be because it's your experience. It happened to you. This past week in Mexico, at the end of the week, we went scuba diving, saw a nurse shark, saw an eel, swam within about 5 feet of a large barracuda. But see, there could be half the audience that's gone diving. But if I begin sharing my experience about diving, people automatically tune in. It's new. It's kind of different. I don't tell somebody else's story. I'm not having to even use a bunch of illustrations from books I've read. I can share a lot of personal things, and that makes it easier to speak because I'm not trying to remember someone else's information or someone else's story. I'm simply remembering my own information and my own story. And that can really help you get over fear, is when you're sharing from your own life experience instead of trying to create a speech that is so heavily researched that you've practically got to memorize it in order to retain any information. You know, Jim, if you were to do a speech on the top five ways to impact your business through newsletters, you would not have to go out and do any extensive research, would you?
Nope.
I mean, you could come up with that list in 5 minutes. You could share a couple of case studies. Boom, you'd be done. You'd have a great presentation, and it would be so much better than if you went out and researched. So that's the key, guys. We've got to make sure that we're focusing on things that we've got experience with. That alleviates fear. Number three, or the A in fear, is acceptance. Acceptance. Accept where you are. If you've never spoken before, don't expect to be off the chain incredible. Now, don't expect to be the biggest failure on the planet either. But don't go in and have this expectation that everything's going to go perfect. It's not going to. It's your first time. First time you play golf, you're not shooting under 100. Not the first time. The first time you write an article, it's not going to be near as good as the thousandth article that you've written. The first book you write is not as good as, Jim just mentioned, fourth book. You know, it's just the way that life is. So accept where you are and don't discount it. Don't say, well, I've got to wait till I get a certain level before I start communicating. Forget that. Communicate all the time. Now, here's one of the ways that I get out there and practice. I tell stories at lunch. I'll ride down the road talking to myself, telling a story. If I've got a point that I want to share and I'm not sure if it's going to be really good with the audience or not, I might be at lunch with a friend and just say, hey, here's something I've been thinking about related to X, and I'll share that with them and get their feedback on it, and then I'll end up integrating that. And so accept where you are, but continue to practice and accelerate your performance, and you've got to get that experience. So the more you speak, the better you're going to become. And then the R in fear is results. Results. You can end fear by knowing that if the people in the audience will go out and apply your message, that a positive result is going to happen. Now, if you're using case studies in your presentation, you're actually proving that your information is valuable and is results driven. But what I try to think about is not whether or not this presentation was the best that these people have ever heard. My question is, if they listen, they pay attention, they take notes, and they go out and apply, will they be better off? And if the answer is yes, then it alleviates that fear and that pressure, because I know that the information is valuable. I'll do the best job I can in presenting that information, but if they apply it, they're going to be better off. And so there's a quick little acrostic on how to alleviate some fear.
I hope you enjoyed this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with my good friend, Mr. Paul Evans. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. All great things. I am your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another outstanding episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week, and until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.